Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey, welcome everybody to yet another episode of the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast. Hi, my name is Mark Stevenson.
And I'm Mark Vila, and today we're here to talk about offline marketing essentials.
Right, that's as opposed to online marketing essentials, which we're going to get to, but offline are things that you do in the real world. I mean, it's actually meeting people and handing them things and getting them to call you in the physical world, as opposed to what seems like everybody only talks about the online stuff.
Yeah, that's one thing that actually, when I was looking into this podcast and I was trying to get my own creative juices flowing, I went online and I was just searching for interesting marketing ideas.
Right.
And 100% of what I found was all online stuff. People talking about blogs and social media and advertising online. And there's just so much offline that still needs to be done. I think it's forgotten about, maybe, or it seems that it's so obvious. And I think that it's not always so obvious.
And let me set the stage and say that if you look through our success stories on coldessi.com, there's a section for success stories. 95 to 99% of those success stories is all local businesses that people found by meeting, by promotional materials, or by having a retail location somewhere in a specific town.
Yeah. And the same with our Coleman & Company customers. When we sit down and actually start to talk to folks about what they do, so many of them are local, which means that you've got to have this offline stuff ready to go for your business, whether you're just starting up or if you're already in business and you don't have some of these things, then it's time to do it.
Right. And I want to set you guys up for success. So if you're already in business, just forget everything you already know and everything that you already have printed and everything that you already have done, and come at this with a fresh eye so you can learn as much as possible.
Yeah, no, I agree. And think about, we need to, I guess we just start at the beginning.
Yeah.
Right? So the beginning is not what you need to create, but the beginning is who's your customer, and to use a big word, a customer profile.
Right. That's not a big word.
No, it's not a big word, but it's like six letters.
It's
a fancy marketing word.
It is.
It's something that somebody might put on a resume if they were a marketing person. But creating a customer profile, or just who are you selling to?
That's the question that you really need to answer before you do any of this stuff, because You'll probably have a natural market that you're going after. I mean, you got into the embroidery business because you wanted to make horse blankets. So the people in your customer profile is going to consist of people like you that might be into horses. Or you started a direct-to-garment printing business because you wanted to do band t-shirts for a particular type of music that you follow. And that's going to kind of lead you down that path. But you really need to develop at least one or two personas or profiles of people that you're going to sell to.
Yeah, and these include the sex that you're selling to. So is it unisex, male or female,
right,
mostly, because that can direct how you want things to look. Is it the age group can be another one of that. Particular ethnic backgrounds can be part of it. If you're particularly going towards, say, if you're Mexican-American, and what you're doing is you're selling a lot of apparel and clothing to that market,
right,
to immigrants or to other Mexican Americans, then it's probably a good idea to use those colors.
Right.
You would want it to be unisex because there's male and female.
Right.
And maybe a flag might be part of your marketing materials and how you bring that in.
I like that. If it's the resort tourism business, then if you're doing bling in the resort tourism business, you're going to sell into hotels, then your average customer is going to be a wealthy 35 to 55-year-old female that's there on vacation. So, you can kind of tailor your marketing to that persona.
Yeah, and I think this is a time where it's okay to stereotype.
Okay.
Okay, because what we're talking about here is for example, if you're selling to automobile or bike clubs, like if it's people who are into, you know, the street racing scene, okay, that's, when you think about that, that's typically going to be edgy feeling male. Right. However, there are definitely females that and women that are into that, for sure. However, still the things that, you know, their cars are still going to have that edgy look.
Okay, so I think we've covered our politically correct bases here. Yeah. So your customer profile is going to be who you want to sell to. So let's give a few specific examples that we can think of, Mark, that will apply to embroidery, for example.
Okay. Well, what do you have in mind? What are you going through your head there?
Well, our typical embroiderer might be looking for corporate work.
Mm-hmm.
So someone that buys a single head machine that is going to go after, let's say their customer profile is small to medium sized blue collar or pink collar service businesses.
Okay.
So their customer might be the owner of, and you can use a particular person. As a matter of fact, what we've done at Coldesi in the past is kind of actually developed personas and names for mm-hmm. our typical customer. So you could even say, okay, well, Bob owns a local plumbing franchise. It's an on-time plumbing franchise. He's got 25 full-time employees and 10 part-time employees. They each one of them need name tags or custom embroidered uniforms. They need hats. They need the following kinds of things. And you're going to base your marketing from Bob's profile.
Yeah.
And that way you can go to other companies that, not just plumbing, but anybody that's in that kind of blue-collar industry, and you can apply
mm-hmm.
everything that you create for Bob can be adapted to people just like him.
Yeah, so the person who owns the house painting company and the air conditioning company and you mentioned the plumbing,
right.
The electric company, the all of those things for either house or homes or small business, even telecom can fit in there, you know, telephone companies,
yes.
People that do that. So all of that fits into that type of profile, and which to me, when I would look to create that, we're talking about using somewhat neutral colors. So comfortable colors,
right?
Maybe not neons. Might not be the color you want for your logo,
right? Nothing. Probably nothing pink or violet or, you know, anything along those lines.
Yeah, unisex is a good way to fit it. That it feels good just for anybody who's going to pick it up, because you don't know who's going to be the decision maker. They could be male or female of wide range of age.
In the same time, you're not going to develop, you know, collateral or literature brochures that look like you're trying to sell to IBM or Apple either. You know, you're not going to have this high-end, high-gloss, polished kind of look to your materials if your market is more of a hand. If the guy you're likely to hand the brochure to is immediately going to get it dirty,
mm-hmm.
then you don't want it to look like he's going to want to polish it off himself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, that's very true. It's got to make it feel right for the person that's going to be picking it up. And then you can also go to the other end of that where you get much more specific. Like I mentioned with the Mexican-American one would be an example. But if you're going to sell to dance schools and cheer, and you're talking about mainly female.
Right.
We're talking about bling is cool. It's fine to have a diamond in your logo or use bright pink or purple.
Yes.
Things like that. The car one I think is good where you could talk about having like an edgy type of a look, using a really robust font, you know, in your logo, having a neon colored logo. Those are going to be okay for that type of crowd. So you want it to feel as if it just fits right in with what they do.
And you don't have to have just one customer profile or set of marketing materials or marketing approaches.
Yeah.
Like for example, at Coldesi, typically, our first-time embroidery customers are a little bit different than our first-time Pro Spangler bling customers that are a little bit different than our first-time DTG customers. So, in general, there's a lot of overlap, don't get me wrong, but there are some specific personas that belong to those different markets. So, if you are the embroiderer that's going after the plumber, but you also want to do school sports jackets, do Letterman's jackets and things like that, you can have a separate set of marketing materials that appeals to that group.
Yeah.
And we're not talking about spending $1 million on each different marketing approach. We're just talking about having the right collateral materials, the right approach for each individual market.
Well, let's talk about some things that we should spend money on.
Okay.
So, I think we'll start with a logo, a name.
Okay.
Okay, you should have a name and some sort of logo. A logo doesn't mean you spent a lot of money and hours.
Marcus, trying not to laugh right now because he knows my opinions on logos. And I will tell you that you are probably, many people start their businesses because they have a logo in mind.
Yeah.
And I will tell you the most I've ever spent on getting a logo designed for my business is $5.
Yeah. All you really need is a name on a piece of paper in a particular font.
Right.
You know, but if you want to go to a, you know, an online place that creates logos for $25, $50, $100, you could do whatever you want and just get something that you're happy to share with people. And it could literally be as simple as, I mean, just go down the road and look at all the signs down the road and look at how many logos are quite simple.
Right.
McDonald's is a word in one font.
Yes, it is. And let's specify that, start with your customer profile and who you're going to sell to before you pick your company name and your logo.
Yeah.
I know there are a lot, if your company name is going to be Princess Designs, and then you decide to go after that plumbing business, it's going to be a little bit more of an uphill battle.
Yeah.
Because Princess Designs and plumbing do not immediately, you know, it's not that kind of blue-collar thing. And on the other hand, if you really love some kind of edgy, dark, anime, I hate life kind of logo and look, don't expect to bring that approach to the cheerleader market.
Yeah.
So it all has to match that customer profile that we started
with. Yeah, so you start with the customer profile, who you want to sell to, come down with a name and I say logo, but just some sort of a brand look.
Yes,
agreed. What are you going to print on everything?
Right.
And then from there, it just comes down to all the what you would call the marketing collateral. So your business cards.
Business cards, a brochure.
Yeah, and on all of these things... you don't have to buy tens of thousands of them. There's plenty of places online where you can buy a reasonable amount, $250, $500, and not have to spend a ton of cash on them.
Yes.
But get something that you're happy to share. But you should have these things. I think that the business card is particularly powerful for a small business person.
Especially if it's not a normal, or let's say especially if you do something to have the business card stand out. Like, we'll definitely have a tip sheet or a, you know, a sheet of links to marketing contacts to get things printed and to get things developed and maybe some places you can get a logo designed if you want to, like Fiverr.com, etc. But I like this one website called Moo.com because you can get a variety of different shapes of business cards.
Yeah.
And one of my favorites is, especially if you're in the graphics business, is you can order a box of 250 cards with a different image printed on the back of every one.
Oh, okay.
So now, you know, if you've got a bank of your logo and maybe some images that you've developed for different customers or just some general design images, then you can really have an impact by picking the right image to match the right customer you're standing in front of. And you get a lot of variety there. So that's a little extra thought, but just the basics of being able to hand somebody a business card that's got your name, your phone number. If you have a website or a Facebook profile, it's got, you know, that address on it. It's got what you do.
Well, I think that reminds me of something. So when picking a business card, I think there's a couple things to consider. For one, you have to have a list of everything that you want to have on it, just like you mentioned. So you should have your name and your logo, your actual name. It can be a good idea, too. It makes it personal.
Yes.
It's not just a card that this is... you know, printing company, but printing company, Tom, you know, so they know who they know who to ask for. Phone number, if you want to have your direct line or your cell phone, that's up to you. Just know that if this is your personal cell phone and you're going to put it on business cards, just realize the line that you're going to cross and just make the decision if that's okay.
Yes, because, and we'll talk about this in a little bit more detail, but if you are going to use your personal phone call, your personal phone number, you cannot answer the phone, hey, what's up?
Yeah, yeah. And we
from then on, even if it's mom calling, you can't say, hey, what's up?
Yeah, so we're definitely, we'll jump into that. And then if you have a website, you should have that on there. An email address, you should have that on there. But another thing to consider is the materials that you're going to make the business card out of. If you go and find the cheapest business card you can possibly find, it's going to feel like that.
Right.
And I don't like that when they're easily crushed. If you throw a couple in your shirt pocket on the top before you go out, because you know you're going to an event where you're going to meet some people, and by the time you go to hand them out, they're bent and crushed. That just doesn't feel as nice. So a little bit of a better material is worth the dollars difference it costs.
I absolutely agree. And by the way, so is something to keep the cards in. Because even me, I'm always down to the last three cards that have been in my wallet for a week or two or a month. So it's always bent and it's always crappy, even a good card. So
yeah.
I would get even like a little free plastic case or a leather case or something that you can just keep your business cards in, even when they're in your pocket to keep them nice.
Especially you're going to an event where you know you're going to hand some out.
But the most important thing, other than your phone number and your name, I think, on a business card, is that it says what you do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even if the name of your business is Bob's T-Shirt Printing, you still need to have something like Bob's T-Shirt Printing, best custom T-shirts in the universe.
Yeah.
You know, we print custom T-shirts, because you'd be surprised how people can misconstrue that, how they don't get the point.
Custom T-shirts, sportswear, corporate wear, no minimum orders, whatever are certain things that you do, have those on a list. Use the back of the card. It's not that much more often to print some more in the back of the card.
That's a great idea.
And then having, you know, the really nice cards, when you consider them or look at them, they're typically glossy. You can't write on that, though. So it's not a bad idea to have, if you're going to have glossy on one side, matte on the other, being able to write on a card is great. If you talk to somebody and you want to give them a note specifically, like, hey, ask me about this, or here's a coupon code for my website, or here's a promo, or here's a price, you can write that on the card for them and hand it to them. So you want to be able to write on your card. I think that's an important thing.
And I know that this is supposed to be just about the printed materials and things like that, but I'd also like to change the way people hand out their cards.
Okay.
And make it a bigger deal than the average person.
All right. My attention.
Okay, because one of my favorite things is my wife and I actually, I went on a business trip to Hong Kong. And one of the things that was great, I got to bring my wife with me, but what they do is they will actually hand you their business card with both hands, and then it's rude for you to just take it and put it away. So during an entire meeting, because I read about this before I went, during an entire meeting, I would put the guy's business card on the table in front of me so I could refer to it.
Hmm.
So I'm not suggesting that you do that, because that would just be creepy, but what you can do is you can ask and say, can I give you my business card? May I hand you my business card? If I gave you my business card, would you keep it?
Yeah.
Hand it to it. And see, it's got my name on it and it's got the phone number. And look, this is what we do. And you can use it as a little mini presentation if you do the printing on the back and say, this is what we do. See, we do all of these things, and then hand it to them.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And specifically pointing to having them remember, if you want them to email you, you say, hey, here's my business card. My email's right here. That goes directly to me, by the way. You know, something that they can remember. Now, but I do like the idea that, I mean, if somebody handed me a business card with both hands and bowed, I'll tell you, I would talk about them.
I bet you would, but would it be in a good way? Would it be in a good way? I don't know. You'd certainly be remembered. But yeah. I do like the idea of using a good quality business card, of having your name and phone number and things like that on it, having what you do on the business card, absolutely, and then making it more of an event than usual when you hand it to someone.
I like that. And then I think we need to have a little bit of a checklist of the other things, because I think that covers the card pretty well.
Okay.
What's the checklist of the other things that you need to have prepared and made? So, the next thing that I thought of and we had mentioned was letterhead. If you're going to write a letter to somebody, it's nice to have even if it's just electronic.
And that's what I yeah. use is I will use. I'll get my logo and I'll do a template inside Microsoft Word.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I type a letter, I just type in the letter, the logo and everything is already there, and I'll print it out on a color printer.
So go on YouTube and search how to add a header and a footer in Microsoft Word. And it takes about 10 seconds to learn. The header, your logo, and anything else you might want, maybe your phone number up there if you want. And on the footer, your address, phone number, email, whatever other things you want. Nice spaced apart evenly, top and bottom, and then save that. And every time you go to write a letter, that's what you open up instead of a new document.
And you can do the same thing, by the way, when you create emails. Yeah. And we should talk about that, especially when we do the online marketing.
Mm-hmm.
But when you create emails, you can also create a template that has the same information on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important that what's on your business card matches what's in your letterhead, which matches what's on your invoice and mm-hmm. quotes.
Which means the same font,
yes.
the same colors. If you use a dash in your phone number, use dash everywhere. If you use a period everywhere. It just makes it feel that much nicer.
And believe it or not, it'll make you more recognizable.
Yeah.
So when I get, and I get a lot of spam email, I get a lot from realtors. And the realtors that I remember have the cheesiest signatures.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 2 inches long on the email. It's got a picture of them. It's got their company name. And it's got their slogan in it, which might be, if we can't sell it, we'll buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Or mm-hmm. 90 days until sold. Or something along those lines. It's got all that information there. It's got a picture. And you can do the same thing, and you can make the same kind of impact.
Well, that actually just leads to another thing to mention, which is, you know, the email, to have a signature
yes.
on your email. And if whatever service you use for email, the same thing, go to YouTube or Google, how to add a signature to Gmail or to Outlook. Figure out how to do it and add it. This way, every time you send an email to replies and initial sends, it's got your name and your phone number and your company name. Because when somebody opens up their email, imagine how you read email. You read email. Oh, the shirts are going to cost $50. I can have them ready by Tuesday. Call me when you're ready. Imagine if the customer could just push their finger up a quarter of an inch, and then there's your phone number, and then they can touch it and call you.
Right.
How much more likely are they to call you versus the person that scroll all the way down? Oh, I think I have a card somewhere.
A lot more likely, yeah. That's very true.
So there's letterhead. Your sales orders and quotes is another thing to have made, and that could be electronic and or printed. So same thing, a template for that, how you're going to quote people.
And I would say, especially if you're going to quote using email,
mm-hmm.
I think it looks a little unprofessional if you do a quote for, let's say it's a $500 sale or a $1,000 sale, and you basically write the information in the body of an email.
Mm-hmm.
Just say, hey, I can do 50 shirts for $10 a piece, $500, call me if you want it. As opposed to having a nice form letter with your logo on it, with your signature on it, and with some kind of defined 50 shirts of this size, delivered in this time period with this print for this cost, and you know, have it be an official document that's branded to your company.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you feel like a bigger organization, and it makes you seem more trustworthy.
If you have a template, if you don't, let me take it back the other way. If you don't have a template, 100% chance you're going to forget to include some important piece of information, and they also will misunderstand what you wrote.
Absolutely.
In the email. I could do 10 shirts for $10 a piece. And then you're going to... You told me you could do 10 shirts for $10.
Right.
Or, you know, as odd as that sounds.
Or is it 10 different shirts for $10 a piece?
Sure.
You know,
or
with no setup costs.
Yeah.
Do they have to be the same? It's also a great opportunity when you do an official quote and you do an official sales order to put all the yeah buts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to put all of your disclaimers in it.
Mm-hmm.
Delivery date is not a guarantee. It's a suggested delivery date. We warrant the quality of the print. You can't bring us your own shirts. Sales tax is not included in the price quoted. You know, whatever you want to say with every single order to avoid those misunderstandings.
Yeah, yeah. If something needs to be shipped, additional fees may apply.
The CYA clauses,
yeah.
Basically.
And another, something that makes me cringe on the CYA clauses are they don't have to be the biggest thing on the invoice or your email. They don't have to be in bold red 5x font, and they don't have to, they never should have exclamation points at the end.
Right.
These aren't your, I understand how frustrating it is when somebody doesn't follow those rules. However, if it
don't be angry about it,
yeah,
in advance.
To me, it makes the person feel angry, and I'm just, and the person, you're assuming that they're going to make that mistake right away, so you should have it in there, and this is, and you should note it somehow. How it doesn't have to be so brash, I guess.
Agreed.
So we've got business cards, we've got letterhead, we've got sales orders / quotes, invoices, if you need to specifically have a separate invoice from the sales order, which you're going to find out you're going to be asked for that for some corporates or
absolutely, and I think we did this in part of our IT section and part of our IT podcast is using things like QuickBooks, using things like FreshBooks
uh-huh.
or whatever accounting software you're going to use, often will always actually have sales orders, quotes, and invoices that you can produce through them. And all you have to do is you can add your logo and the footer in there. You don't have to create everything from scratch.
Yeah.
You can use your accounting software to do that.
There's templates everywhere, and there's templates in Excel. You know, Excel will have templates.
True.
Everything's going to have them. We are always going to kick back to, I recommend the accounting software for a small business. It's the right place to start.
Absolutely.
I also understand that we're often a small business works in a limited budget. And sometimes when you're first getting going,
it can be a little expensive.
It can be expensive and it can add up, but do something right. You know, do something the right way, I should say. So use Excel, you know,
okay,
at a minimum for an invoicer.
Now, how do you feel about brochures? Where do you come down on the question, should every business have a brochure?
Well, I think it's good to have some sort of a one-sheeter, a one-page of what you do. I think that that's a good idea to have. It can just be electronic.
Okay.
I think that that's fine if it's just a PDF. You don't necessarily have to print them. I think it's a good idea to print them. You never know when you could have the opportunity to mail something to someone.
Yes.
Or hand it to them in person. But a one sheet on everything that you do, maybe your mission statement or your philosophy or you know, making dancewear better than, you know,
right,
you know, bringing girls' dreams alive, you know, dancewear and more.
I think that a brochure can be a very effective tool, especially if it's one of the smaller ones that you can, that are folded, that are the single folds, that you can keep in a pocket or in your purse or in a bag and hand out to somebody that is a big business card, basically.
Yeah.
And it might have a full list of the things that you do. It might have something special about delivery times or your location or where you're from or how you personally might relate to that market. The only thing I'm going to say about brochure that is a definite don't do is don't make this yourself.
Yeah.
I have seen so many horrible, horrible brochures that someone has just opened up the brochure template inside Word or another program like that, and they just come out bad. If you're going to do a brochure, get one done at FedEx, Kinko's, or get it done online, or whoever's doing your logo, do that. But don't do that yourself, because my fear is that you're going to have nothing but paragraphs of text and bad pictures.
Yeah, bad pictures. Just don't include pictures if they're not going to be good. If they're
right,
fuzzy or stretched or...
Which they always are.
Yeah, or really dark, you know, then... And if you print them on your... If you're going to print them at home, on your own printer, which I'm going to recommend not to do, but if it's just text, you can get away with that.
Okay.
To a degree, you know, okay. If you're really, really small and you're trying to go and it's just text and somebody made some, but if it's going to be images and you're going to print it at home, it's going to look bad.
I agree. I tell you what I'm going to do is I'm definitely going to put a link to Fiverr.com. That's Fiverr.com. Just pay somebody $5 to design it for you. Just, you know, send them some, if you have good pictures, then send them. Send them your logo, send them what you want to say, spend $5 and have them do it.
Yeah, and they, and oftentimes on Fiverr.com is they have, those people can upgrade. So it's like, it's $5 to make this, but for $5 more, I'll do this. And yes. For $5 more, so you can spend maybe $15 or $20 and get then even upgrades added to it. So there's a lot of cool stuff. It's a fun site.
And let me say, let me do my soapbox thing sure. As well. Just because you have Word does not make you a writer.
Yeah. Okay.
So just because you know how to do a brochure doesn't mean that you know how to do a great one.
Yeah.
Because it is different than if you are terrific at graphics, that does not mean you can write 3 paragraphs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've really got to get somebody else to at least take a look at it to make sure that you're producing a product, a brochure that is worthy of what you're selling.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a ton of places online where they'll have a flat fee for some of these things. Yeah. So they'll make you a brochure and letterhead and all these things for $100 or $200. Don't spend... one of my, you know, a pet peeve of mine is when I find out somebody spent, you know, $1,000 to make a brochure, you know, or $400. You don't spend... That's
crazy.
You're a small business owner. I mean, you've got to use your money in the right way. If you know somebody who does this... and they do big time corporate branding, they might charge $5,000. And that's that product. That might not be for you. You know, you can spend your money in other places.
You're not going to be selling Jaguars. You're going to be selling t-shirts.
Yeah.
So you keep that in mind.
The logo that costs you $99 versus a logo that costs you $599 is probably not going to make a difference in any sales.
As soon as you hit the big time, and by the big time I mean the very big time, then you can get your logo redone if you need to.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and so have a brochure, however you like it. You can, the bifold was a good one. A mini brochure is another way to go, whether it's just literally just a half a sheet or a postcard
like
style.
That,
a postcard could still be kind of your brochure, but have something that you feel comfortable that has enough room to say everything that you want. And I don't think you need to put all of your disclaimers on your brochure.
No, you don't.
I don't like that.
No,
this is for selling, not for instructions.
Not for scaring people away.
You know, so no exclamation points and big red letters on do not submit art, you know, to this email address. So then there's one other thing I think you should get printed, which is thank you cards.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit. And that's something that we do off and on here at Cold Essie, to be quite frank.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're a good idea.
Yeah, it's quite inexpensive to get your logo on, get a single fold size thank you card, logo on the front. That's it. That's the minimum you need. And those are pretty inexpensive. If you want to step it up, you can get the envelope with your logo and address on it, and you can get a message written on the inside. You know, we appreciate, you know, creating custom apparel for you, you know, with your name and logo, and then you just have a spot to sign. But a thank you card is great. If you send one to every customer, I don't think it would... I can pretty much guarantee that it's never going to make the situation worse. It's only going to be better.
That's a good point. No one's ever going to say, damn it, I hate getting these thank you cards. I'm never buying from that company again.
It's only going to be good for you, and it's not going to cost you that much money. And it's another part of the whole experience for them. It's like a movie or a song. It's like they got the card, then they got the letter on the letterhead, then they got the sales order on the sales order, then they got the final invoice, you know, then they got the thank you card, and they got all of these things. They got this whole marketing experience from you on all the things that were printed, and that felt really professional again. And the chances of them coming back because that felt great, as long as what you produced was good,
right?
That'll be part of what they remember.
Do you think they're going to remember you in 3 months or in 6 months when they have another order to place? If everything matches like that, yeah, because they're going to stumble on the invoice, or they're going to look, they're going to find your business card or your brochure, or they're going to see that thank you card again.
Yeah, Yeah, and they're also going to, if they're trying to, let's just say that they go online because they forgot. They forgot your name. I know it was something something, you know? And they jump online, and we'll talk about online marketing to make sure they find you when they do that.
Yes.
But they jump on, they start searching. Visual memory is really important. So they're going to go through there, and they're going to see the logo or the colors or the name, and they're going to, that's it.
Yeah, it's going to trigger it.
And they're going to, so that's part of the branding is so people can say, yeah, that's it. Tom.
That's a really good point. He was great. Because I've done that.
Yeah, I've done it a ton of times. So then the next thing I think we should chat about is some of the things you don't print but are still part of the basics of the marketing essentials.
Okay.
So one of them is you mentioned about the phone.
Oh, right.
And the voicemail.
Right. Because a lot of people, 90% of people when they first get started, they are just going to use their personal cell phone for their business phone.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's easier, it's cheaper, you don't have to spend an extra 50 or 100 bucks a month to do that. And there's no problem with that as long as you do one of two things, I think. The first one is you draw a hard line in the sand and decide every time you answer the phone, it's going to be as a professional.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter who calls, because you'll never be able to do this. You'll never be able to, like, you know, see your sister calls and you answer one way. You're not going to be paying attention the next time somebody calls and you're going to answer that same way for a customer.
It's a habit you need to build.
So if you're going to use your personal phone, every call you answer with, "Hi, this is Mark from ABC T-shirts. Thanks for calling. How can I help you?"
Yeah. Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah, and your cousin and your brother and your and they might joke and make, "Oh, you always answer your phone like that to me." Hey, I take my business serious. You know, and if somebody, you know, pokes fun at that and you turn around and say, "No, I take my business serious. It's a habit that I build," and they keep going on it, then just
stop taking their calls
off. Yeah.
Stop taking their calls.
Wipe that off because what's going to happen when you answer the phone? And it happens to me a lot because I make phone calls at Coleman & Company. I call people. You know, I call people back.
Yes.
I return messages. And so often, "Hello? ABC
is this, yeah, is this ABC printing t-shirts?"
Yeah. "How can I help you?" You know, and the guy was nice in the end. But it was uncomfortable for a moment.
By the way, we're just using that as an example. If you actually own ABC t-shirts, we're not talking about
you.
No,
you're
really
probably a really good person.
Yeah, you probably do this all correctly.
Yeah, you're great. I like you.
Okay, so the other thing that you can do is you can actually get a Google phone number or a Voxox number. There are a couple of free or almost free services that will let you have a separate business number dial your cell phone.
Yeah, I think Grasshopper is one.
Yeah. So
there's a bunch of them out there.
So you can do that. You can actually have a different phone number. So you can put a different phone number on your website. I've used Google Voice and Voxox or two that come to mind, but there are a lot of services out there that you can have kind of a fake phone number.
It will forward to your phone.
Yep.
And oftentimes it'll have a special caller ID. So you almost know, you know, when it's
you
a
do,
business
you
call
will,
or not.
Yeah.
So that's a great way to do it. But no matter what, you know, if it's going to your personal phone or any phone, have a good voicemail that you don't have to, first of all, stop telling people to leave their phone number and the name and the time
at
they
the
calls.
Beep. Trust
the
me,
beep.
Crazy.
They know. We know. Everyone knows now. So but you do have to say, "Thanks for calling business."
Yes.
I don't really have an issue if somebody saying, "We're not available now." I mean, we know you're not available.
Otherwise, you would have picked up the phone. Otherwise,
but I don't know if I have an issue with that. "Sorry we missed your call. Please, please let us know the nature of your call, and we'll get back with you as soon as possible." But have just something that you say short.
Yes, don't make it a 20-minute speech.
And you don't have to put all your disclaimers here too.
Right.
That's another one.
"Hey, don't send me artwork."
Yeah.
No, don't
do
do
not
that.
Send. Oh, and as a reminder, do not send artwork to. You don't have to have that because the chances of somebody calling, that's why they were calling, is minimal.
And it doesn't have to be boring or staid or anything like that either. You could say, hey, thanks for calling Bob's T-shirts. No, we're not ignoring you. We're actually busy helping other customers. Mm-hmm. We're happy to help you, too. We do custom T-shirts for a variety of purposes. Leave your name and phone number, a little about what you're interested in, and then we'll call you right back.
Well, here we go back to, all of these things are always going to go back to step one of the customer profile.
Right.
Okay, because if you're selling to corporate wear, it should say, you know, thank you for calling the XYZ T-shirt company. You should use your businessman voice. Yeah. And, you know, please leave us a message and we will promptly return your call within 24 hours.
Right, and I'll be wearing a tie.
And, yeah, and I'll be wearing a tie. And you can email me at, and then have a nice corporate email address, sales@xyzprinting.com. However, if you do dance wear, then you could say, hey, you know, we're probably out dancing right now.
Right. Have a little music in the background.
Yeah. And if you're selling to the blue collar, like the message that you just left. Yes. Hey, I'm out there running my machines right now, just like you are, you know, that's a good way to do it. So go back to step one and let that allow how your voicemail is going to be and how you answer the phone.
That's a really good point. And remember, that's any phone that you deal with, that a customer may, for any reason, call you, should always answer the same way, should always have the same type and feel of voicemail message.
Yeah, and the same with your email signatures, you know, going back to that. The way that you leave messages.
Yeah, let's flip that around. Not just when people call you, but how about when you call people and leave a voicemail?
Yeah, you know, have a semi-script or at least a checklist of the things you're going to say. You're going to say your company name. You're going to say your name. You're going to leave the phone number to reach you. And maybe you leave an email address.
Do it. Just do it. Just do one. Leave me a message.
Hi, Mark. This is Mark calling from Coleman and Company. I'm returning your phone call in regards to the embroidery supplies that you were looking for. You can give me a call back at 800-891-1094. You can also feel free to leave me a quick email, and that's sales@colemanandcompany.com. And just in case you didn't have a pen handy the first time, the phone number again is 800-891-1094, and I look forward to hearing back from you soon. Thank you.
I like that. I like that a lot. Because what you did was you said what your name was, you said why you were calling, you said that you were returning a call, you gave two methods of contact. The only thing that you missed that I would do is I would make the threat.
All right.
And the threat is, you know, just exactly like you did, you know, returning your call. You can email me, you can call me back, and if I don't hear from you within about a week, I'm going to give you a call back just to make sure that you're taken care of.
Okay, so we're getting sales pitches. I like doing
that just a little bit. I always want to give, because one of the things that you should do when you leave a voicemail message is leave an action.
Mm-hmm.
Something has to happen, because I get 7 to 10 voicemails a day. So I want to hear, I'm going to send you an email right now. Please respond with what you need me to help you with.
Yeah.
I am going to call you back in a couple of days if I don't hear from you, because I want to make sure that you got the supplies that you were looking for.
Yeah, that's good. And I'm going to email you that quote that you asked me for right now. Please respond back or give me a call back to let me know that you got that.
Yeah, I like all those things. And the consistency is really important, that you remember to say, even if you keep a cheat sheet, to remember this to say the same thing. Because remember, if you're leaving a message for somebody, it means that you're going to do business together or you want to do business.
Yeah.
So that voicemail message is worth money. It's your brochure. It's your business card. It's your website at that point.
Yeah.
So you've got to say, hey, this is Mark from Cold Essie. I am calling you about Direct to Garment printers. You'd express some interest, and I'd like to chat with you about that and see what you want to do. I'm going to give you a call back. You can reach me at this number or this email address. If I don't hear from you, I'm going to give you a call back tomorrow just to make sure that we're getting through.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And that's ideal. You'd have a little checklist. And I remember when I was in sales, I would have little cheat sheets of all the things I would want to say or do, whether it was emails or voicemails. And sometimes I would even write it out first. So I'd open up my email and I would write in. This is what I want to say for this customer. So, but build that and keep a note. And if you do that every time, it just becomes a part of your brand. It becomes a part of who your business is. It becomes a part of that whole experience. Because now we talked about the business card to the brochure. Well, also, there's also little things dropped in there. A voicemail here, an email here. And if it all fits, it's going to be that much nicer.
Yeah, and the unfortunately, just in case you didn't know this, as a sales guy myself, I know that it usually takes 8 contacts before someone will buy something from you.
Yeah.
And that contact might include the business card, the brochure, the email, the voicemail. You know, it's each one of those things are equally important.
Those are all touches in regards to right. the sales process. And so the invoice is, the sales order is, the letterhead is, the voicemail is, those are all touches. And you're going to have 8 to 12 touches throughout that experience.
Yes.
You want them all to be your company.
And match that customer profile that we started with.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that there's one more thing that's not printed, but it's created.
Okay.
That I know that Mark loves.
What's that?
You love to wear what you sell.
I do. And it's very difficult to wear an embroidery machine on my back.
I've seen you do it,
though. Yeah, it's true.
He has this backpack thing.
I really do. Seminars here when we have our open houses in the Tampa facility on marketing, and I'll get 15 people on a good day sitting in my classroom, and I'll start my session, and the first thing I'll ask is how many people are wearing their company, and maybe 1 out of 15 will raise their hand.
Mm-hmm.
And by that I mean, if you are in the custom t-shirt business, you should be wearing a custom t-shirt. If you do embroidered logos, you should be wearing something with your embroidery on it. You should absolutely, you should have a cap with your logo. You should have a t-shirt with your logo. Everything you wear should have your business on it.
And it should at least be something you made. Because what's funny is, I've seen this a few times, but I can remember one specific event. Group of friends hanging out. One of my friends just happened to be in the t-shirt business. Somebody says, what do you do? I make custom t-shirts. I print t-shirts. Oh, that's so cool. That shirt you're wearing is awesome. You made that?
No.
And I can remember, cause we all just laughed, you know, and it was a cool shirt, but he didn't make it. But the thought was, I said, man, that was like opportunity.
Lost.
You know, like, yeah, you could have said, yeah. I'll make you one, man. I'd do them for $25 for custom tees, for a single tee.
I'll put your name right on the front.
Yeah, I mean, I could make you one that's a custom one just for you. So wear your stuff if you do embroidery. Then that you know.
Oh man, if you do bling of any kind, rhinestones or Pro Spangle, 100% of the time you have to wear it. Tracy Rogerson, our bling salesperson at Cold SE, she does all of our webinars and things like that on it. Is a baseball mom. She's got a couple of boys, they're big into baseball, and every time she goes to a game, she wears the team or some kind of a baseball mom in Pro Spangle or in rhinestones.
Mm-hmm.
And 100% of the time, someone will come up to her and ask her where she got that shirt.
Yeah.
And you should take that as a money-making lesson right there. Oh, funny you should mention that. I do this for a living. You know, how many would you like?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's great. So I think wearing what you do, it could also be, you know, if you carry a backpack or a briefcase or a man bag or a purse.
No one carries a man bag. No, don't say that.
I don't, but people do. Let's not pretend.
Okay.
Whatever you carry, a fanny pack. Fanny packs are coming back.
No, they're not.
They are. I just was listening.
Let's
to
go the other way and say if you wear like a motorcycle vest, if you ride
that too.
You know,
that
if you too. If you wear a cowboy hat.
But whatever it is, you can put in. If you do embroidery, you can put embroidery on it. If you do vinyl, you can put vinyl on it. You know, you can bling all those things. Now, of course, some things become challenging. You know, it's hard to take a leather briefcase and. That's a professional briefcase and bling it, you know, that might not always fit, but for things that do fit,
right,
make them. So if you have a backpack and you do embroidery, embroider something on that backpack that you wear all the time.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And whether it's your name or whatever it might be, this way that you have something to talk about.
Yeah, I like that. And that especially goes if you're going out into the world for business purposes. Like that's just walking around town, you should be wearing what you do. But if you're going to do a trade show, or if you're going to go to a market or a fair, or, for example, we've got a local customer that does rhinestones specifically that are pet-themed. So she goes and hangs around for fairs and festivals outside PetSmart. Or if there's a dog show or a dog sporting event that they're into, like dock jumping or things like that, 100% of the time she is wearing a cool blinged shirt with her company name on the back.
So I love that. And you also said dock jumping.
Yes.
That I think that that you need to explain.
I need to explain? Okay, there is a sport.
Okay.
Where they have a target hanging out, you know, something dangling, hanging out off of a dock.
Okay.
And the dogs, the idea is like a distance jump, is they have to run down the dock, they have to jump off of it, and they have to grab it with their teeth before they hit the water. Oh. And how far that is, it's a long jump kind of competition.
Wow.
I know, it's odd that I know that, isn't it?
No, but that's
It's a lot of fun to watch.
That would be fun. My dog would be terrible.
Well, you're not supposed to throw the dog at the target. You're supposed to let it run.
Yeah, I can't. She's like 80-something pounds. I wouldn't be able to.
No, okay, I get that.
But she jumped. Okay, I got it. I think I understand what it is okay. now. So, good. Well, we've got a bunch of things we've created and that you're going to wear. Another thing that we talked about are a little more of creative marketing things. So you had mentioned about the car sign.
Yeah. And when I mentioned the car sign, I was thinking about just having one of those magnetic signs made that you can put on the side of your car that says, again, who you are and what you do, and it's got your logo, and it's done appropriately for the market that you're after.
Mm-hmm.
That way, if you're parked at the grocery store or if you pull up in front of a business for a sales call, it's even that much more professional.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have a really crappy vehicle, don't do this.
Okay.
But if you have a professional kind of vehicle, or maybe one that fits your market, like I don't care if you do mostly, you know, hunting clothes or sports themed stuff, and you pull up in an old pickup truck, you know, with a gun rack in the back, I would definitely put my logo on the side of that.
Yeah.
But if you are doing, you know, if you do cheer wear, you may not want to take the same approach.
Yeah, same okay.
Thing. Just remember, everything has to match that corporate image. What I really like is we've got some customers that also do car wraps as well as custom T-shirts. And nothing will get our attention, even at Cold Essie, more than when one of our customers pulls up in a completely wrapped vehicle full of who they are and what they do.
Yeah, I called a roof cleaning company because of that.
Oh, did
driving
you?
On
okay.
the highway, and they had a big thing on the back. And I'm stuck in traffic. So I call the guy. Hey, are you in front of me right now? Yeah, that's me. Man, he's like, this is my best billboard. He's
that's
like,
every great. Day,
phone calls all the time from it. How much to clean my roof, man? And we talked wow. about it for a minute as we're stuck in traffic behind each other. So, you know, if you commute and you're in the car a lot or you drive around a lot, you know, a full car wrap to just a sticker to a magnet, you know, and it could be simple, you know, custom embroidery, logo, phone number.
Yeah, do something.
You know, and that could be good. It's free. You get to do that for free. So there's that. There is signage. If you're going to go anywhere, you should have a sign.
And that can be, for a few $100, you can get actually a really good quality kind of pop-up banner. You know, a okay. vertical banner that you can have your company name, your logo, and what you do on it with some nice graphics.
So that's like a polyester material.
Yeah,
like
yeah, that you can actually okay. like pop up next to a table, or you could do like we did at Cold Essie, and you can take a tablecloth and actually bling out or embroider the front of the tablecloth and put that over a table at a fair.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you are working in a hotel, or really, I mean, anywhere you should have some kind of a sign that signifies what you do.
Yeah, a corrugated plastic type of printed, you know. So there's a lot of ways you could do that, and a lot of them are inexpensive.
Yes.
You know, if there's a local sign shop, you know, you can get something small made, I mean, starting at $20.
And honestly, if you're already doing vinyl, you should be ashamed of yourself if you're not already, if you don't have your own sign for everything that
yeah,
you do.
Yeah, have a sign. So I think that's part of that. You know, that you know, not everyone always has a need for that, and I think that's why it's towards the bottom of the list. But yes, it's important if you go to anything to have something like that. It just adds to your whole experience. And then there's the tchotchke creative ideas.
Yes, and you're going to talk about that.
Yeah. So there's pens and letter openers and magnets, and there's a lot of things like that that you can do. So there's mixed opinions on...
In this room.
You know, I don't know if that I'm excited about them, but I'm not against them. But what I think that it... I'm holding a pen right now that somebody gave us for free, okay? And it's garbage.
Right.
I dropped one in the warehouse 2 days ago. It exploded on me. So this is my second one. Now... I'm sorry. The ink did not explode on me.
The pen fell apart. Just
threw into 40 different pieces. I had to come back. I was making notes in the warehouse. I had to go find. So if you're gonna have a pen, make it a decent pen. Doesn't have to be the most mine, but make sure that it's good. If it feels like it's gonna break, it's going to.
Yes.
If you're gonna have a magnet, you don't want it the thinnest magnet that doesn't even... Some magnets up for my fridge don't even stick hardly.
Right.
I have a pizza place, and the thing falls off every time. I threw it away.
Yes.
So if you're going to have a magnet, have a good one. If you're going to have a letter opener, it shouldn't be dull.
Okay.
So I'm not really against having any of those things. I don't know how often they're going to lead to more sales in the custom apparel business.
And neither do I. But it is kind of one of those safety things. You know, it's like if you have a refrigerator magnet, if it's not too much money, you can get them made well, then why not do it if it works?
And it's a thing to give out, and it's a thing, and it should make sense for what you do. A pizza place, it's a good idea to have a refrigerator magnet, right?
Yes.
Because they're thinking about food. They go to grab food. I don't want to cook.
Right.
You know? So if you do corporate stuff, the pen, it might not be a bad idea because everyone's looking for a pen.
Or a mouse pad.
Yeah. Or the letter opener, you know, is one. So there's plenty of these things you can do. I don't think that they're necessary. I don't call it a marketing essential.
True. It's a marketing...
But it's a... Yeah,
thing.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
Yeah. It's another thing.
Okay. Let me give you my alternative thing that I kind of dig. Okay. Because I think it might work. Is you could do tiny t-shirts or baby's onesies or you could embroider on something or bling or print on something small and interesting. For example, we got one of our DTG customers actually does wedding invitations and things like that on wood.
Okay.
So it's basically inexpensive. It's plywood. It's just sanded ply. And he'll do wedding invitations. You could do the same thing and just have your business card be made out of wood, and that could be your tchotchke. Or you could make it a coaster that somebody could put on their desk.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can DTG right on that. Maybe it's a koozie that you embroider on that somebody will use over and over again. Or it's a t-shirt. It's a small t-shirt. Something that has something to do with your business.
Yeah.
To further reinforce where they got it, what it is.
And that's the thing. Like, the pen with your company name that says... You know, custom t-shirt printing is a cool thing.
Yes.
You know, but it doesn't add to...
It doesn't call to mind custom t-shirts. It
doesn't call to mind to what you do. So if you've got $300 extra and you're thinking about ordering pens, before you do it, just think about what else could you maybe do with that, with your other marketing collateral, because I think the things mentioned above are more important.
Agreed.
So if you were going to spend $150 on pens and you don't have thank you cards, the thank you cards are going to get you more business than the pen is.
Yes, they will.
And the letterhead and the year membership to QuickBooks or FreshBooks.
Right.
You know, all those things. So if you've got the money in those things, but, you know, I think it's all about writing everything down, having a little bit of a marketing budget, which what we've talked about before, how much are you going to spend on it, and go for it and do it right.
I agree. And I think next time we do one of these marketing podcasts, which seem to be among our most popular, people really need some help in that area, is that we'll do the online version.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get a little bit deeper into doing the emails and how to create that. We'll go into getting found online, you know, the free ways that you can get your business listed in Maps and Google and Bing, and the appropriate way to use email and some email software and things like that.
Yeah, that's definitely another essential. So here we finished up offline marketing essentials. Stay tuned and be for online marketing essentials. And if you have any questions or thoughts or comments, caspodcast.com, and you can reach us there. And what else do you have to leave with, Mark?
Well, I really want people to post. I'm really interested in people's logos and their company slogans and things like that. So I would love it if you would make a comment below if you are on caspodcast.com. If you're listening to this on the web, then go ahead and make a comment below and put a picture in there. Send us a picture of your logo or put your tagline in there. Let us know what works. If you want some help with your customer profile, both Mark and I think, would be perfectly willing to help with that.
Yeah.
To narrow down what that should look like. And then I'd like you to join the Facebook group, which is Custom Apparel Startups on Facebook. And you can join the conversation of other people that are in your exact situation, starting a business, wondering what they need to do to get sales. That's another great place to go.
And our email address.
Yes, we have
host@caspodcast.com. Okay. So host@caspodcast.com. If you want to email us and say, this is the logo I was thinking about creating, this is the letterhead I made, this is the brochure that my cousin's friend, who kind of does graphic arts on the side, made for me.
We will tell you the truth.
Yeah, we'll be honest with you, and we'll give some real feedback. And the feedback might be, you are headed in the right direction, keep going. Or it might be, suggesting another alternate route to go. But we're really happy to help you with that and interact in any way we can. And I think until next time, be prepared for the online marketing essentials next.
Agreed. Thanks. This has been Mark Stevenson from Cold Essie.
And Mark Vila from Coleman & Company.
Look forward to seeing you next time.
Bye-bye.